Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lalakul podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Vayechi. And much of Parshat Vayechi deals with Yaakov's last will and testament to his sons. Yaakov addresses his sons before his death. He gives them the necessary brachot, the necessary critique that they need to hear. Now, we know that Yaakov, he criticizes the three oldest sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and he bestows brachot upon the others, the remaining sons. Now, when addressing Shimon and Levi, Yaakov, he strongly condemns their inclination towards violence. He highlights that their anger and their rage led them to commit acts of murder, acts of bloodshed, specifically when they attacked the city of Shechem, as well as critiques of their actions leading up to the sale of Yosef. To all of this, Yaakov declares, "Achalekem Yaakov va'afitzem Yisrael." I will divide them among Yaakov and I will scatter them among Israel, seemingly expressing his concern about the potential consequences of Shimon and Levi residing together and joining forces, because in the past it has led to violence, it has led to great difficulty. So to prevent their zeal, to prevent their passion from concentrating and resulting in violence, Yaakov, he says he's going to disperse them, he's going to spread them out. Now, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch underscores the profound importance of Yaakov's condemnation of Shimon and Levi's violence at the inception of establishing the Jewish nation. Here I'm going to read a quote for you. It's obviously a translation of the original German, but he says the following. It is of the most profound importance that here, at once, at laying the foundation of the Jewish nation, a curse is laid on any and every transgression of the laws of morality and justice, even if done in the interests of the public and the state. All other states and nations justify themselves by the principle that public and state interests sanctify everything. Cunning, trickery, and force, which in private life would be punished with prison and gallows, are rewarded with civic honors and medals. The laws of morality only exist for private life, but in politics and diplomacy, the only code recognized is in the interests of the party or state. The original testament for the Jewish nation here lays a curse on all trickery and violence, even if practiced for the more justified cause in the public interest, and perpetuates the teaching that even in public life and in the public interests, not only the end, but the means too must be pure. In no case does the end justify the means. Says Rav Hirsch that it's so important that no matter what it is that we're doing, even on behalf of the Jewish nation, that it has to be done in a moral manner. Remember, Shimon and Levi, they acted as they did in the city of Shechem in order to rescue their sister and to protect their family's honor. They respond to Yaakov Avinu, are we going to allow them to treat our sister like a harlot? It cannot be. They went and they attacked because of the honor due to the family, the honor due to their sister. It couldn't be that they would sit back and allow such a thing to happen. And still, Yaakov asserts that while the pursuit of national honor is commendable, it doesn't justify resorting to violence. It doesn't resort to looting. It doesn't resort to any immoral activity whatsoever. Cunning, trickery, force, it does not make a difference, even if it's for the greatest of all causes, for the national identity, for the purpose of the state, it does not make a difference. Everything has to be correct. As the Bnei Israel were aspiring to build a nation, to go from a family into a nation that was rooted in tzedek and mishpat, in righteousness, in justice, in morality, both the public and the private character have to adhere to these ideals, and they could not betray them even for the sake of national interests. Yaakov's harsh condemnation of Shimon and Levi is then followed by a blessing to whom? To Yehuda. Yehuda, we know, is destined to be served not only as the nation's military and political leader, but as the king. Yaakov speaks of Yehuda as Miterev Bini Alita, from the prey, my son, you rose. And if you look there, Rashi explains, what does it mean that he rose from the prey? Silakta Ratzmecha, you removed yourself, Vamarta Mabetza. And you said, why is this worth it? What's that referring to? If you remember the story of Yosef, first Shimon and Levi say to themselves, let's kill Yosef. And eventually Yehuda says, no, we can't do that. Of course, in the meantime, Reuven said, throw him into the pit. They were trying to figure out what to do. But Yehuda says, ma betza, it's not worth it for us. Instead, let's go ahead and let's sell him. Now, was that ideal? Absolutely not. We know that Yehuda is criticized greatly for that. We know that ultimately he had to leave his family because of it. Of course, that was not a good thing. But at least, silakta ratzmecha, you didn't allow that rage to take over. Even though you were upset with Yosef, you didn't listen to a Shimon and a Levi who said, let's kill him. You came up with a different plan. Rashi continues, v'chein meharigat Tamar, shehuda tzad kamimeni. And also in the episode of Tamar was going to be killed, she was going to be executed, but he stepped forward, he admitted that he was the one who had fathered this child, and ultimately she was saved. Yudah, he withdraws from the plot to kill Yosef. He displays this ability to restrain his anger and his rage, even though they believed that this was what was best for their family, that it was in their best interest to get rid of Yosef. And he didn't allow for the execution of Tamar, even though it came at a great sacrifice to his esteem, to his family. It did not make a difference. He was able to recognize that even though it's for the public interest, it's for the state, it's for the eventual nation of the Jewish people, Nevertheless, we have to be moral there as well. And thus, specifically, he, Yehuda, is chosen as the one who would lead the nation in battle and eventually serve as the king over the nation. Yehuda, in contrast to Shimon and Levi, he emerges as the fitting leader who's capable of navigating battles. He's able to take the Jewish people to battle, but he's able to hold back from the rage. He's able to make sure that they aren't resorting to indiscriminate bloodshed. And Yehuda would serve as king because he demonstrated in the episode with Tamar that he didn't excuse immoral behavior for the so-called greater good. It's so important for us to think about this idea of Rav Hirsch. You know, as we witness the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, so of course we're reminded of the words of Yaakov Avinu. We're reminded of this great criticism of Shimon and Levi, who, when he goes and he warns them about the dangers of violence and the importance of morality. And we're proud of our brothers or sisters. We're proud of our sons and our daughters in Israel who defend our homeland in Tzahal. They defend our homeland, they defend our people with courage, with determination, making the ultimate sacrifice at times, lo aleinu. And we daven for their safety and their success. But we also recognize that war is a tragic and it's a terrible reality. And that we have to hold ourselves and our soldiers to the highest standards of morality, even and especially on the battlefield. And we can't allow ourselves to be blinded by anger or hatred, even after the terrible atrocities that took place, the completely, completely unjustified behavior that we saw. Nevertheless, we can't say that any means go because of our great national cause. We have to follow the example of Yehuda, who showed restraint, who showed compassion, who showed integrity, even in the face of adversity. Celebrating death, being indiscriminate in killing, that's the way of our enemies. Hamas and many of our enemies throughout history, they've shown us time and time again through their words and their actions that they will resort to any means necessary, as morally repugnant as they could possibly be, as we could only imagine, in order to accomplish their victory. But we are not like that. Even for the great cause that is the protection of Am Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, even for the great cause that is returning our captives, of providing safety and security for the nation, nevertheless, we make sure that we don't have that indiscriminate killing. We aren't immoral. We aren't going to be dishonest. We aren't going to do any of those things, celebrating, protecting, ensuring life. That's the way of Yaakov. That's the way of Yehuda. That's the way of the Yehudim, of the Jewish people. We're Rachmanim, and we believe in Tarat HaNeshek. We're merciful people, and we believe in the purity of arms. In this merit, in behaving, carrying ourselves like a Yehuda, listening to the words of Yaakov Avinu, making sure that we're moral, even on the battlefield, in that merit, among many, many others, may we see a swift end to this war, the return of our hostages, and a lasting and meaningful peace in Eretz Yisrael. May we see Refuot, Yeshuot, Nechama, Geulah, Shabbat Shalom.